you have your Bibles this evening, if you would find the book of Psalms, if you would again find the 119th Psalm, that will be our text tonight. We will go outside for just a couple of verses, but for the most part, we will find ourselves in the 119th Psalm. I want to finish a message that we started 2 weeks ago, and we began a series now, Things Every Christian Should Know, helping us to be a victorious Christian in 2007. And I do desire, and I hope it is your desire, to be a victorious Christian, to be an effective Christian, to be a Christian that goes by faith, as we learned this morning, that God can accomplish His will and His purpose in our hearts and in our lives. And we opened our introduction with the three thoughts about the Word of God. And I wanted these thoughts to really enrich and deepen you and challenge you as you did your morning devotions or your daily devotions, or you had a time in God's Word. We said three things about the Bible that we found from Psalm 119 right off the bat was, number one, that it is timeless. It's timeless. Do not confuse timeless with old-fashioned. We have a lot of people today who are trying for us to be emerging church or emerging Christians or progressive church and progressive Christians. But my friends, let us be Berean Christians, amen, based on the Word of God. And so the Word of God is timeless. The truths, God gave His Word, understanding that in the year 2007 we would have the internet. Understanding in the year 2007, we would be able to communicate worldwide in just a few moments. Do not forget that it was the scriptures who told us that in the end times that the whole world would see the two prophets killed at one time. Back then, that was impossible. Today, it's possible. All right. So the Word of God's timeless. Not only is it timeless, but it's also truthful. And it's imperative that we believe and know that the Word is truthful. It's imperative that we give our hearts to that because we stand upon that. And we stand upon the truth of God's Word for many situations. We're going to talk a little bit about that. Then we said it was treasured, and it ought to be treasured. It ought to be valuable. And we're going to talk about the value of the Word of God tonight. But it is something that's treasured. And I hope you treat it as being treasured. So it's timeless, it's truthful, and it's treasured. And it's worthy of our attention, and it's worthy of our reading. And then we said when you begin to read the Bible, there are some things you ought to do as you read. And if you missed that service, you may want to take a pen out and jot some notes down. We said to be effective in our reading and to be effective in our time with the Lord and then have an understanding of the Word of God, we need to pray. We ought to pray over the Word of God. By the way, who is the illuminator of Scripture? The Holy Spirit. Do you understand the Scripture by your brain? No. Do you understand it by your common sense? No. The Scripture will only be explained to us and illumined to us by the Spirit of God. Hence, it makes perfect sense, and hence the need and desire that before I read, I pray, God, instruct me, teach me from the book. And we talked about that most of us, we fall in the trap of reading till we understand something. So we'll sit down and we'll read 6 or 8 verses, and we may have to read 15 or 16 verses, and we read and we read and we read until we finally get something that we understand, and then we think our Bible reading to be successful. The problem with that is this. I read that some of Scripture or all Scripture is given by inspiration. All Scripture. So those verses that I'm reading by to get something that I understand, those are loaded with practicality. Those are loaded with a message with God. And it's my responsibility to get down on my knees or to pray and say, now, God, teach me the Word of God. And so we pray that and we find that our eyes will be open, our heart will be stirred, and our mind will be enlightened. And then once we pray, we talked about pondering the Word of God. And we talked about meditating the Word of God. And we said that there were 6 questions that you ought to ask yourself when you read the Word of God. I'll give them to you quickly again. Hopefully you got them 2 weeks ago. We said when you read a passage of Scripture, you ought to ask yourself, is there a promise to claim? Is God giving a promise here that he may have given to a group of people, he may have given to the church, but this is a promise that I can claim? Is there something I claim as a promise from what I'm reading? Number two, was there a lesson to be learned? Is there a lesson? Is God teaching me something here? What is the lesson of these verses? What is the aim of these verses? Let me give you a question along these regards to shy away from. And I find a lot of people, we fall victim to this question. We read the Word of God and then we say, now, or somebody will stand up and lead us in instruction and they'll say, what does that mean to you? Have you ever had somebody ask you that question? And we're kind of taught that we can read the Word of God and we can find out what that is being said to you. What do you think that means? How do you take this? There's only one way to take the Bible. And the way to take the Bible is the way God gave the Bible. So I don't read and say, well, what is God saying here? I think God is saying this. And somebody else will say, well, I think God is saying this. Somebody else could say, I think God is saying this. None of that is important. What is important is, what is God saying? Amen? Okay, so don't fall victim to trying to figure out, well, what does this mean to you? The Bible says, let me give you a verse. Hold your hand in Psalms. This is powerful. Go to 1 Peter, all right? I'll give you a verse that you must read, you must understand, and you must have in your own thinking, or you're going to be robbed of a great blessing. And even speaking of that, I think I got the wrong reference. It's 2 Peter. 2 Peter chapter 1. Now, when it comes to the Word of God, and it comes to our understanding of that, and it comes to that daily Bible reading, you need to understand verses 20 and 21 of chapter number 1. Peter writes, knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any, what are those two words? Private interpretation. Okay, so private interpretation eliminates, well, this is what I think it's saying, or this is what it means to me. No, I don't have the right biblically to privately interpret the Word of God. Well then, Pastor, how do I interpret the Word of God? You interpret the Word of God as the Spirit of God illumines it to you, and as God says. Now look at verse 21. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man. This is not some man's opinion. This is not the way some man thinks, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. And so I hold in my hand God's Word. And when I read God's Word, I don't have the right to interpret, well, I think this means this. It's my responsibility to submit to that. Amen? Do you follow that? Okay, so we ponder the Word of God. Is there a promise to claim? A lesson to learn? Is there a blessing to enjoy? Is there a command to obey? Is there sin to avoid? And then we talked about, is there a new truth to carry with me? Now, let me caution you on that one statement so you don't get overboard on that. If you believe that we have the entire inspired Word of God in our midst, say amen. 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 It is. It's the entire Word of God. So if somebody comes up and says, God, I got to tell you, what God revealed a new truth to me today. Okay, sometimes we can say God revealed a new truth to me today, but they better follow that by saying it's right here in the book. Because if they say God revealed a new truth to me, no, it's not in your Bible, but this is what God told me in my closet, then you need to run and shun and hide. Amen? Okay, and I don't care what channel they're on. You surf after that, okay? And go back to Sports Center, and it'll do you better than that. I'm trying to preach tonight and not wonder who's winning the Daytona 500. God's helping me at this point, but we had a little setback just right there, all right? So a new truth. Preserve the Word of God. We pray, we ponder, we preserve the Word of God. We hide it in our heart. We practice the Word of God through obedience, and we proclaim the Word of God by giving it out. And the more we give out, the more that sticks with us. Now, tonight, I want to look at six things that talk about the value of the Word of God. And if you do not understand that this book has value, then you won't make time for the book. And a lot of things that we do not think the Bible covers, the Bible does cover. And I want to go by in Psalm 119 and show you a couple of things. Number one, if you're taking notes, the Bible is valuable because it is a source of victory. A source of victory. Now look at the 45th verse of Psalm 119. Look at this. The psalmist writes here, Psalm 119 and verse 45, he says, "And I will walk at liberty, for I seek thy precepts." The psalmist is saying, there's liberty in the word of God. I was in bondage, and now I'm no longer in bondage. I now have liberty. And that liberty, or that victory, was brought to me by the word of God. It is a tremendous source of victory to be in the word of God, to know the word of God. Let me give you another verse. Look at verse number 49. The psalmist writes here, "Remember the word unto thy servant, upon which thou hast caused me to hope." Now, I don't know about you, but there's been times in my life when everything said one thing, but the word of God said another. And the times of my life that have been victorious, as opposed to the times of my life that have been without victory, has been where I position myself. And there's great strength, and there's great courage, and there's great victory to place myself upon the word of God as opposed to on what I think or upon circumstance here. And so the Bible is a source of great victory. Now, who used the Bible? Think about this. Who used the Bible as an example to us of the great source of victory that the word of God is? Anybody remember? Probably the greatest test of temptation was faced by who? By Jesus Christ. Where? In the wilderness. Amen. In the wilderness. Go to John. Let me show you what he says. Go to John chapter 4. All right? Now you need this because the reason most of us get defeated and the reason most of us aren't in the word of God with desperation is because we forget the value of the source of victory for the word of God. And if you come to John chapter, It's Matthew, isn't it? I think it's Matthew chapter 4. Hold on a second. Even the preacher gets confused sometimes. But John just doesn't seem right. I hear myself saying it, and I'm thinking, I don't remember studying John. John chapter 4. Matthew chapter 4. Way to go, Thomas. All right, Matthew chapter 4. Look at this, verse number 1. "Then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterward a-hungered." I would say that's an understatement. "And when the tempter came to him, he said, If thou be the Son of God," by the way, that's how the devil comes always with if, "command that these stones be made bread. But he answered and said, It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth." All right, the devil comes again to tempt him and to cast himself down that his angels would give him charge. And look at verse number 7. "Jesus saith unto him, It is written, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God." Again, verse 8, "The devil taketh him up into an exceeding high mountain and showeth him all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them, and saith unto him, All these things will I give thee, if thou wilt fall down and worship me. Then saith Jesus unto him, Get thee hence, Satan, for it is written." Now, when the Lord Jesus wanted to come against that temptation, wanted to come against the enemy and put himself in a position of victory, he entered it with, "It is written." You say, "Well, Pastor, does that work for me?" I can't tell you how many times the enemy will come and he'll garrison attack my mind or attack me in fear. And if I don't go back to the word of God, which the psalmist said in verse 49, that thou hast caused me to hope on, and I don't come forward in the word of God, then you know what? I'm a little bit flimsy on my position. And if I don't stand on the word of God, but I stand on my own ability there, I find myself being deceived a little bit. I find myself being gullible. I find myself thinking things that I know aren't proper and looking at things that I know directions that are not biblical, but I didn't place myself in the source of victory, which is the word of God. And God's people said, amen. Okay, number 2. It's not only a source of victory, but this is a sweet source for me, and I love this. If you look at verse number 9, the Bible says, "Wherewithal shall a young man..." Now, tonight, I'm probably the only one in the church that he's speaking of here, too, as far as a young man. I find myself there. Just kidding. But this is also for all men. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? Interesting. What's he talking about there? He's talking about a man whose mind is so filled with garbage that it dominates his thoughts. Now, let me explain something to you. Our minds are like video cameras. We see something and bam, there it is. We hear something and we can recall it faster than that computer. And I mean, sometimes if you're not careful, especially the men, our minds can be just bombarded and assaulted upon by things which we have seen. You understand the stimulation of man and how God arranged that. Women, they're stimulated by a touch and an understanding there. But men, our eyes are what lead us. And our eyes bring into us our mind. And so when our mind is cluttered, sometimes people come to me and say, Pastor, I've been saved. Pastor, I love the Lord, but my mind is under such attack. Verse number 9, the Bible is a source of cleansing. God, that's great. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. Listen to what the psalmist said. With my whole heart have I sought thee. Let me not wander from thy commandments. Thy word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against thee. Blessed art thou, O Lord. Teach me thy statutes. With my lips have I declared all the judgments of thy mouth. I've rejoiced in the way of thy testimonies as much as in all riches. I will meditate in thy precepts and have respect unto thy ways. I will delight myself in thy statutes, and I will not forget thy word. And so he used the word of God as a source for cleansing. By the way, people that struggle with guilt, people that struggle with past sins, past crimes, past things, get in the word of God and let the word of God cleanse your mind. It's a lot better than psychology or psychiatric help. It's a lot better than depression drugs. It's a lot better than those things to let the word of God cleanse me. Amen? Okay? And so it's cleansing for my mind. It's a source of victory. It's a source of cleansing. Third, it's a source of growth. Look at verse 32 of this chapter. He says, I will run the way of thy commandments. At least saying the word commandments there being the word of God. When thou shalt enlarge my heart. It is imperative that we use the word of God to grow. Listen to what Peter said. Peter says, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby. All right? And so without the word of God, there will be no growth. The word of God is considered milk. It's like the newborn babe. And the newborn babe cries for mother's milk or cries for the bottle. We give them the milk and they grow. That's what the word of God does for us. Now, let me ask you a question. I know we just came from the health workshop, so you should be understanding this. What if you came to see me tomorrow and you said, Pastor, I'm not feeling good. I'm just weak. I just don't have any energy. Pastor, I can't concentrate. I can't drive. I can't work. Something's wrong with me. Well, I began to ask some questions. And one of the questions I asked you was, are you eating? Well, I do eat. Well, when do you eat? Well, I only eat on Sunday. Huh? Excuse me? I don't eat Monday, and I don't eat Tuesday, and I don't eat Wednesday, and I don't eat Thursday, and I don't eat Friday, and I don't eat Saturday, but I gorge myself on Sunday. Three meals. I eat three square meals a day on Sunday, but you don't eat Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. How healthy of a person are you? Come on. How healthy? Not very healthy. Well, that's what happens when we are not in God's word spiritually. When I'm not in God's word spiritually every day, it's not like eating every day. And you can come and I can take the food on Sunday and I can shove it down your throat to where you're so full that you can't even walk out the door. But what happens to food once it's taken in? It begins to digest. It begins to go to process there. And pretty soon your body's hungry for more. So that is why it's imperative that God's child is in the word of God, because the word of God provides nourishment for me to grow. And if you're only eating on Sunday, don't think my illustration to be small and don't think it to be improper. It is proper. It is very powerful. As minuscule and as sickly as you are physically by only eating on Sunday, that's how I would be if I only ate the Word of God one time a week. We understand that. Nod your head, shake your head, do something. Put your right foot in, shake it all, do something. All right? But yet we go home and we think, well, I don't have time for the Word of God today. I got to get up and go to work. Fine. Well, what happens when you come home? So we need to make time for the book, all right? Area of growth. And I was going to give you one, but for sake of time, I kept you long. I'm going to move on. Number four, it's a source of victory. It's a source of cleansing. It's a source of growth, but it's also a source of joy. Look at verse 54. Thy statutes have been my songs in the house of my pilgrimage. What's he saying? He's saying in my life, in the steps of my life, in the times of my lives, really and truthfully, the song of my life has been the Word of God. Have you ever been there when you've been through a hard time and the song that comes up is a song about the Word of God? It is the source of joy. Look at verse 111. Look at this verse. Thy testimonies have I taken as an heritage forever, for they are the rejoicing of my heart. Listen to what Jesus said. Jesus said, these things in John have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you and that your joy might be full. Let me just give you the application to this. The joy of the Lord is my strength, right? And a Christian without the joy of the Lord is a Christian who's not in the Word of God. Now, the difference between happiness and joy. Let me teach you something real quick. Happiness is not joy. And joy is not happiness. Happiness is elementary. Happiness is emotional. Happiness is transient. Happiness is things are going well, I'm happy. Things are going bad, they're not. Happiness, somebody said, depends on what happens. All right? But joy is steadfast. Joy sees not the circumstances, sees the solution. Joy doesn't see the trouble. Joy sees the Word of God. And so a person who has joy could be walking through the depths of the valley of the shadow of death, or they could be on the mountaintop, but there's still a steadfast rock bottom anchor of joy. So if happiness, it comes, is determined by what happens, are we stable or unstable? Unstable. And so our lives are unstable. And we wonder why we're quick-tempered. And we wonder why we get depressed. And we wonder why we're up and we're down. And we wonder why we can't put two good days together. And we wonder why. It's because instead of the Word of God being my source of joy, I'm resting on happiness. But if I will, as a person, see the value of getting in the Word of God and letting the Word of God be my song in the night. I'll give you one other great thought. Learn to speak the Word of God. Okay? Use biblical language. I believe this is the inspired Word of God. If you do, say amen. Amen? Okay, so the language of this book is inspired. Now, the Bible calls the Bible the sword of the Spirit. All right? It's a sword. It is used in aggression. But when does the Bible become a weapon for us? When we speak it. When we obey it. When we pray. It does me no good to sit on my shelf. And it really does me no good to just read if I'm not going to give myself to it. And so the joy of the Lord comes when I know the Word of God and I use the biblical language, and that becomes my songs. That's why we use this. Okay? That's why. And I'm giving you a lot tonight, and I'm going to get you done at 7 o'clock, I promise. But sing them over again to me, wonderful words of life. Let me more of their beauty see, wonderful words of life. Wonderful words of life and beauty teach me faith and duty. Christ the blessed one gives to all wonderful words of life. Sinner lists to the loving call, wonderful words of life. Also freely given, wooing us to heaven. Listen to this, sweetly echoes the gospel call, wonderful words of life. Offer pardon and peace to all, wonderful words of life. Jesus only Savior, sanctified forever. Beautiful words, wonderful words, wonderful words of life. The joy of the word of God as the source of joy is me understanding and using biblical language. Practice it, read it, learn it. Jesus said, it is written, and then he quoted the word of God. He didn't say, well, you know, I think it says over there somewhere. You ever heard anybody say that? You know, sometimes I get a little bit aggravated. Somebody will come up and they'll state something. I'll say, where's that in the Bible? Well, isn't there a verse that says, or don't no. That's unstable ground. But when I know the word of God and I speak the wonderful words of life, it becomes joy to me, even in the darkness. All right? It's a source of victory, source of cleansing, source of growth, source of joy. It's also a source of power. Look at the 28th verse. My soul melteth for heaviness, strengthen thou me according unto thy word. The word of God is our power source for victorious Christian living. Hebrews chapter 4, verse number 12 says, for the word of God is quick and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword. This is our power, Christian. This is our weapon. Now, please don't do what one preacher did in the airport a while ago. They were searching his bags. I know this guy. He's a nutcase. And they said, sir, what's in your bag? He said, I've got dynamite, bless God, in my bag. And he spent the night in jail. And when they opened it up, it was the Bible. I don't suggest you do that, okay? Now, power, there's a couple of meanings in the Bible. There is the dunamis power, which is dynamite power, explosive power. But there's also authority. Jesus said, all power is given unto me. Not dunamis, all authority is given unto me. Now watch this. If I as a man am going to have authority in my marriage, now I'm a man, not that I'm going to rule the roost, but I have the proper biblical position of authority. If I'm going to have authority as a father, authority as a pastor, and authority as a citizen of the United States of America, if I'm going to have authority in my life that's reckoned by God, then I must be under authority. Well, where do I find where I'm supposed to be under authority other than the word of God? You say, well, Pastor, I don't know how to relate here. It's in the Word of God. Well, Pastor, what should I do about this situation? I find out what the Word of God says, and I use the Word of God to be the source of power, explosive power when I need it, and authority where I see that I need authority. So it's a source of victory, a source of cleansing, a source of growth, a source of joy, a source of power, and then lastly, it's a source of guidance. Look at verse number 105. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet. We know this, and a light unto my path. Now, people ask me all the time, Pastor, what do you think I ought to do? Pastor, I've got a situation where I need some help. Pastor, I don't know what to do. The Bible is our path, or is our light. It's our lamp. It's the light unto my path. It's the lamp unto my feet. You know, you think about a flashlight when you're walking in the dark. It illumines the way. It shines and shows the pitfalls. It shows the path that leads me to where I'm going to go. That's what the Bible is. It is to be our guide. Well, what kind of guidance? Well, how to be an employee. We learned that on Wednesday night. How to be an employer, we learned that on Wednesday night. How to be a husband, we learned that. How to be a father, how to go by faith, how to invest my money. You say, that's in the Bible? Read the Bible. How to protect you from bad investments. You mean that's in the Bible? Sure. Did you know that the Bible teaches you that you're not to be surety for anybody? What does that mean? That means you don't co-sign. You say, well, it's in the Bible. Yeah, it is. It means I'm not to be surety. Bible says, if you put yourself as surety for another person, you've done wrong. Wow. You mean the Bible really goes that deep? It's a guide for everything we need. Who am I going to marry? It's in the Bible. Not maybe her name. I searched for that, bless God. I didn't find Beverly in there, but I found close. But it's the light unto my path, the lamp unto my feet. Now, when you walk in the dark, you're in trouble. You're in trouble. You're in trouble. And I get back to this again. The word of God guides me in my decision making. It is the source of guidance. All right? It's a source of victory, cleansing, growth, joy, power, and guidance. Now, I don't know if you're here tonight and you need victory. You need cleansing in your mind. You need growth in your heart, joy in your soul, power in your life, or guidance. All of that is found in the Word of God. It's valuable. So that brings me to the end of my message, and I'm done good and early. Here's what I would like to challenge you to do. I'd like you to challenge you this week, 1 week, give yourself to the Word of God. What do you mean, Pastor? I'm going to ask you, starting tomorrow and going all the way to next Sunday, if you would, by the grace of God, commit to every day getting in the Word of God. Where would I read? What would I do? I'm going to give you some things. Just, this is for, maybe you have a program that you read, maybe you're already reading, but I would say if we did an average and we took your hands and you were truthful, probably 70% of us aren't reading. That's probably the average. So you don't have a place where you are right now. So let me help you a little bit. Do a couple things. Number one, if it was just me and I was going to read for this week, I would start in the book of John. I would start with John chapter number 1. I would read John chapter 1, and I would read John in the morning or in the evening. And then when I'm done reading John, I would read one psalm and one proverb. You start your Bible time in the book of John. Why John? Because John was written so we would know that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. John gives us the most awesome display of the deity of Christ and the power of God, and you can't go wrong. Begin reading there, and then Proverbs. I'll teach you something. You know, there's 31 chapters in the book of Proverbs. Did you understand that? Does anybody know where Proverbs is? You know where Proverbs is? Okay, it's in the Bible. A lot of times, if tomorrow will be February 19th, I'll read the 19th Proverb. I'll read Psalms, and I'll read those. Now, those aren't the extent of my reading. A lot of people think, well, I'll just read Proverbs, and I'll read Psalms, and that's enough. How many went out to dinner Friday night? You went out to dinner. Come on, be honest. You went out to dinner Friday night. Okay, when you sat down to go out to dinner, they brought you a menu. What's the first thing that's on the menu, every menu? Right at the top, it says what? Appetizers. Those are the things that if you have money, you get, and if you don't, you're thinking about them, all right? Appetizers. A guy who just reads Proverbs and just reads Psalms is only appetizing his meal. Okay, you're not going to get all that God has for you if you shallow that. So don't just be an appetizer. You can take them as appetizers, but then there is the meat of your dinner. And that ought to be the scripture, John or whatever. And then what's the dessert? You know what sometimes I do? And for my dessert is I just take my favorite Bible passages and I just read them. I love the story of Esther. And I love the story of David. And I love that story about that fat guy that gets that dagger stuck in him and the fat goes up. I read that all the time. What is that? That's delighting yourself in the Word of God. You say, Pastor, that's ludicrous. It's a source of victory. It's a source of cleansing. It's a source of growth. It's a source of joy. It's a source of power. It's a source of guidance. It is my very lifeblood. Amen. We need to be men and women of the Word of God. Heavenly Father God, wonderful words of life. Sing them over again to me. I thank you for the Word of God. I didn't have time to give the people the history lesson, but the enemies tried to destroy the Word of God. Some of these people have grown up in lands where the Bible was burned. Hitler tried to destroy it. Other men have tried to destroy it. But forever is the Word of God protected by you. And it's our very lifeblood. It's valuable to me. And yet, we just shelve it. And I don't want Plantation Baptist Church to be full of people who do not know the Word of God. we won't be anchored. We'll be double-minded. We'll be unstable. We won't have power in our lives. We'll have our opinions and we'll have our ideas and we'll have our private interpretations, but those are not biblical. Those are not going to bring about the satisfaction of my soul. I must have the wonderful words of life. So God, I thank you for the word of God. I thank you for all that it is. And I pray that God's people would commit themselves and challenge themselves for 1 week to be in the word and see, and just see. Daniel said, let us eat a little different. And at the end, just check us out. Well, that's our challenge tonight. For 1 week, we'll be in the word of God, eating an appetizer, eating the main course, enjoying dessert, saturating ourselves with the words of life. And I guarantee you, we will reap the blessing of those wonderful words. Thank you for our day today. I hope it's been encouraging to the people. I know the word of God's going forward, and I love you with all my heart. In Jesus' name, amen.